Vrindavanam ki jai, Mathuradam ki jai, Jagannatha Swami ki jai, Yamunamaye ki jai, Srimati Lassi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So today is a special day in the Vaishnava calendar. It's the appearance day of Lochan Das Thakur. So I'd like to speak a little bit about him. Let's see if we get on to the Srimad Bhagavatam or not, how much I have to speak about him. So, Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Medita Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So Lochan Das Thakur is famous because he composed the Chaitanya Mangal. Actually, originally, the Chaitanya Bhagwat by Vrindavan Das Thakur was also known as Chaitanya Mangal. But because the writings of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, particularly in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Chaitanya Mangal Vrindavan Das Thakur became known as the Chaitanya Bhagwat. And Vrindavan Das Thakur is ordinarily considered, not ordinarily, but generally considered to be an incarnation of Vyasadeva in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But Lochan Das Thakur, his writings, particularly the Chaitanya Manga, which means the auspicious writings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are considered to be extremely important insofar as the information that one has on the early pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The reason for this is that Lochan Das Thakur heard from his spiritual master, Narahari Sadaka, who had heard from Murari Gupta. And Murari Gupta, if some of you may know, was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his early pastimes. And Murari Gupta is considered to be an incarnation of Hanuman. And Murari Gupta composed a diary with his direct experiences with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pretty amazing. It's one of the few books with direct first-hand experiences. Of course, that book is no longer extant. In other words, it's disappeared. So his book was written in Sanskrit, actually. He was a very educated personality. Most of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direct associates were actually quite educated, very educated in Sanskrit and other literatures and languages like Persian, etc. And his book was Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not Charitamrita, Charitamrita or something like that, but I forget the exact name. And so Narahari Sarika heard this book, memorized the verses in the book, and then recited this book to Lochan Das Thakur. And Lochan Das Thakur, when he heard these verses, he memorized them, and he decided to write the same information in the what we call the vernacular. Vernacular means the language that's present at a particular time. So the language that was present at that time was Bengali, obviously, but modern Bengali rather than ancient Bengali. And he wrote in verse form, the Panchali verse form, which means five verses. And he wrote this so that ordinary people could understand Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, which is really nice. So one point I can derive from this is that Lord Chaitanya and Krishna's pastimes are not determined or dependent on the language that you're using. In other words, whether you're using English or Croatian or Russian or Serbian or whatever language you're using, It's dependent upon the purity of the person who has spoken and transmitted that information. Prabhupada actually said that even though his books were in English, they had the same potency as the Sanskrit. So Prabhupada actually discouraged many devotees from learning Sanskrit. He said, what is the use of learning Sanskrit? Of course, we have some devotees who learn Sanskrit to serve Krishna, to translate books, which is wonderful, but the general mass of devotees, they can learn some Sanskrit verses, but they don't have to become experts in Sanskrit grammar, which take 11, 12, 15 years, if one is intelligent. So here's a little information about Lochan Das Thakur. I have a biography information about him. And then I'm going to speak a little bit about what the Chaitanya Mangal contains. You know, give a brief summary of the Chaitanya Mangal. Chaitanya Mangal has four parts of it rather than three parts. And anyway, it's like the Chaitanya Charitamrita that has the Adi, Majja, and the Ancha. And it has an additional part, which is like the introduction. So I'll explain that in a few minutes. So Lochan Das Thakur was born near Katwa, and he did have the association, as I mentioned before, of his spiritual master, Narahari Saraka Thakur, who he dedicated his whole life to. And I was listening this morning to Srila Prabhupada's speaking. Srila Prabhupada was speaking about when he heard Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary on the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, you know, the verse, Vyavasayatma Gabudhira Keha Kurinandana, Voshaktas Tranantas Cha, etc. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur stated that if one is one pointed in his determination to serve the lotus feet of the spiritual master, one can achieve all perfection. And of course, every morning we chant, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Danagati Katopi. That by pleasing the spiritual master, one gets Krishna's mercy, and by displeasing the spiritual master, you don't know what's going to happen. That's what Nagati Katopi basically means. You're not going to get, not only you're not going to get it, but you don't know where you're going. So, anyway, this information here about Lochan Das Thakur's mother and father, which is not so important. He married at a very young age. He was a married Vaishnava. As Lord Chaitanya said, Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyasi, Shuja Kena Nai, Ye Krishna Tatva Veda, Se Guru Hoy. It doesn't matter if one is married, not married, sannyasi, if he knows the science of Krishna, then he can be considered guru. So he was, of course, very attached from his very youth. And as we mentioned before, he heard from his spiritual master, from the Chaitanya Charitamritam, that was the actual book. He heard from another devotee named Damodar Pandit, who was one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's closest associates. And I already explained how the name came, Chaitanya Mangal rather than Chaitanya Bhagavat. Okay, and now we will give a summary of the Chaitanya Mangal, a little bit of a summary, Chaitanya Mangal. And after that, we'll finish up by reciting Lochan Das Thakur's famous song, Harama Karuna Bahudvijanam Nitagoracha. And that, of course, that was one of Prabhupada's most favorite songs. I remember when Prabhupada would sing this song, he would sometimes go into trance. Two instances I remember. One was when Srila Prabhupada was in Caracas, Venezuela. I was a temple president years ago when I wanted to do austerities. So Prabhupada was in Caracas, Venezuela. In Caracas, Venezuela is in South America. It's on sort of the northern tip of South America. And at that time, the movement was booming there because I guess they had a lot of money. The country had a lot of money. Now the country is actually falling apart. So Prabhupada arrived in Caracas, Venezuela, and first thing he did is, of course, went to the temple room to see the deities. And he looked at the deities, Shishi Gornatai. And he said it's basically Sri Sri Gaur Nittai, you know, he's just remarking how Sri Sri Gaur Nittai had made their way to this place that was perhaps the farthest out place from Sridhar Mayapur. He said this several times, actually. Another time I was with him was in Gainesville, Florida, when Prabhupada, first thing he said, I've come to this far out place, you know. Far out didn't mean like we used to mean during the hippie years. You know, in the hippie years, if you said far out, that means that's great. But you understand? That's really far out, Prabhu. You know. So, but Prabhupada meant it's so far away, you know, it's like in the middle of the wilderness. And of course, I was thinking, no, far out, this is the middle of the universe, at the center of the universe, you know, America. So, but Prabhupada was considering the center of the universe was Sridhar Mayapur. So anyway, so Prabhupada arrived in Caracas, Venezuela, and he started to chant this song, Parama Karuna Bahudvijanam Nittai Gaurajan. And Prabhupada just all of a sudden, it's happened twice actually in a row, Prabhupada just remained stunned and the devotees didn't know what to do, because Prabhupada was so amazed at the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Parama Karuna, that means the supreme compassion, Nittai Gaurajan, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. So Prabhupada was so amazed at hearing that, or thinking about that, sorry, that he's just like, oh my God, this is so merciful. All these malechas in this far out country of the world. Yeah, I'm sort of like projecting to what Prabhupada was thinking. It's amazing. Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. The Prabhupada just remained stunned. And then the devotees didn't know what to do. For a few minutes, and then eventually they started chanting, you know, Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada came out. Same thing happened in Miami, Florida, which is where Prabhupada went right after Caracas, Venezuela. And the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, what should we do when you're going to trance? And Prabhupada, in a very apologetic fashion, stated, almost like, please excuse me, I don't do it very often. So that's the point. When a pure devotee experiences ecstasy, he doesn't reveal it to the whole world. It's described that you shouldn't, you know, you reveal your beads, your ishta devata, your mantra to the world, or your realizations. A devotee was asking me about this the other day. He said, if I'm feeling completely Krishna conscious, and of course I was thinking, that would be nice. So, you know, if I'm feeling completely, should I talk about it with my wife? He said, he asked me this. And I said, or my friends? I said, it's not a good idea. It's something that's kept internal. It's not to say, I just saw Krishna today. No, you keep it internal. I said you can speak about it with your spiritual master. And he may say, very nice. Or he may say, no, you didn't see Krishna. Anyway. So Prabhupada was, that's called Sanchari Bhava, Vyabhachari Bhava, the Prabhupada experience. If you analyze the bhavas or the emotions of the devotees according to the descriptions given by Srila Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So that was the poem of Lochandas Thakur, which we're going to talk about, and read Prabhupada's purport on that poem after we talk about the Chaitanya Mangal. So here we go. Chaitanya Mangal. The first part is called the Sutra Khand. Sutra basically means like a thread, something that ties everything in together. Just like you have the Vedanta Sutra. And of course, in the Vedic context, when you say sutra, it means not only something that ties everything together, but something that's spoken very concisely, you know, very in very few words. In English, we have this saying, brevity is the soul of wit. You know, I'll translate that. Wit means intelligence. Brevity means shortness. You know, if you can say something, and Krishnadas Kaviraj says a similar thing in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one could be able to say essential truths, if I remember the quote properly, essential truths spoken concisely. That's his quote. That means spoken very in very short words. Too often people are very wordy. They just like that and say, you know, please summarize this for me. And most books are. Most books are very wordy, and when I went to the university, we read summaries of books instead of reading the books, and I still did well. So, anyway, so sutra, that's what sutra means. So it starts with, in the beginning with the sutra cant, and the introduction, you have a description of his spiritual master, description of the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and particularly of Bharari Gupta's Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I discussed before, which was his diary on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, in the second chapter, you find Narada Muni. I'm going to go through very quickly, or else we'd be here forever. Narada Muni is feeling great compassion for all of us, because he sees that it's Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, there's a problem. Manda Sumanda, Mantayo, Manda Bhagyo Padrata. Everyone's unfortunate, short-lived, and it's the age of quarrel, the age of iron. And the predictions of Kali Yuga are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can go through a whole list. You know, people will be living underground, eating each other. A religion is just a change of dress. You know, if I dress like this, people think I'm a good devotee, even though I'm a rascal. So, religion is just a change of dress. If you have, let's say, money, you're considered high class. Beauty is considered a good hairdo, which I don't have. So, so anyway, all these symptoms are there. If you can speak a lot of words, you know, word jugglery, you're considered intelligent. So there's all these wonderful symptoms that we're being subjected to right now. Of course, the politicians will tax you and tax you. People will head to the woods. Politicians will tell lies. We're experiencing that in many places right now. So, anyway, so Narada Muni was very disturbed by this. So, because he was disturbed, he went to Dwarka and to see Krishna. Now we're talking about Dwarka in the spiritual world. We're not talking about Dwarka in this material world because Krishna had already left the planet. And when Krishna left the planet, you know, Kali started to raise his ugly face. And then when Narada went to Dwarka to see Krishna, he went into the palace where Rukmini was. And right before he got there, Rukmini was crying. She was crying because she knew Krishna was going to come down to the earth planet and leave her. And because she understood something about the Gaura incarnation. And Krishna revealed to Narada Muni about his Gaura incarnation, actually showed him his Gaura incarnation at that particular time, and Narada Muni was in ecstasy. So, and then there's another story in the beginning of the Chaitanya Mangala about how Narada Muni one time went to Naimisharanya, and there he saw Uddhava and the sages, and he revealed the pastime he had before when he was serving Lakshmi. He was serving Lakshmi Devi because he wanted to get some Mahaprasadam. At that time, I guess Mahaprasadam was pretty much confined to very few people. Now, of course, Mahaprasadam is distributed to everybody. So he was serving Lakshmi Devi to get some Mahaprasadam, and something like he served for about 12 years. And after he served for 12 years, Lakshmi Devi said, you know, do you want a blessing or a benediction? Most of us, at least in India, we worship Lakshmi Devi for money. But that's not real wealth. So he said to Lakshmi Devi, I want some Mahaprasadam. And Lakshmi Devi said to Narada Muni, I promised Lord Vishnu I wouldn't give any Mahaprasadam, his remnants, to anybody. Actually, generally the injunction is the sannyasi shouldn't leave remnants, but I guess in ISKCON we're a little bit different. So, because someone eats your remnants, you get their karma, whatever it is. So, Lakshmi Devi hesitated, and then she went to Lord Vishnu, and she went to Lord Vishnu and asked Lord Vishnu in a very shy voice, because Lakshmi Devi's relationship with Vishnu is one of submission. And that's the relationship the devotees have with the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets. In Goloka Vrindavan, you wouldn't find Radharani being like that with Krishna. She would just say, give me the Mahaprasadam and distribute it to my devotee. That's why we worship Radharani. Because if we worship Radharani and we cry out for her mercy, then even if Krishna doesn't want to give us mercy, he has to. Because Krishna is controlled. That's why Radharani is called Madan Mohan Mohini. So Lord Vishnu said to Lakshmi at that point, okay, give him some Mahaprasadam when I'm not looking. You know, so it will seem like I'm not giving permission, and I'm actually giving permission, you know, whatever. And so she sneaks some Mahaprasadam to Narada Muni. Narada Muni gets the Mahaprasadam. He becomes in ecstasy. Sometimes when Narada Muni is in ecstasy, his Brahman thread breaks because his body stretches. Nectar Devotion describes this. And then Lord Shiva, his brother, sees him dancing like that. And Narada Muni has eaten everything, hasn't left anything over for anyone else. I used to do that with Prabhupada. I used to eat everything on Prabhupada's, after Prabhupada ate, of course. And I wouldn't leave it over for anyone else. There's actually an interesting story between two devotees. One time Prabhupada offered a maha sweet ball to a devotee. So it was a maha sweet ball. And the devotee was so thankful to Prabhupada, he offered his obeisances. Thank you, Prabhupada, my own Vishnu Padaya. You know, holding the sweet ball up like that as he was offering obeisances. And another devotee took advantage and grabbed it from his hand and put it in his mouth. And Prabhupada appreciated that. Prabhupada didn't say, hey, you stole this Mahaprasadam. Prabhupada said, oh, he's making great spiritual advancement. That was Prabhupada's. So also the statement is, one can steal Mahaprasadam. That's permitted. In the early days of the movement, we used to break into the Mahaprasadam refrigerator. You know, they had a lock on it. So we always figured a way to break the lock. One night, I mean, I don't know if I should tell stories about it, but you know, the early days of the movement. So one night, at midnight, I broke into it and I was drinking the sweet rice, and then I heard some steps behind me. It was the temple president. And it was Sasrup Maharaj, but he was married at that time, so it was Sasrup Prabhu. And he said, the only thing I could think of to say at that point was, do you want some too? what do you say, you know? I'm not stealing, you know? And so he took it. Anyway, those are the early days. So Narada Muni was dancing with his Mahaprasad because he had taken Jai Shishu Panchatawa. Because he had taken Mahaprasadam, and then Lord Shiva said, what's happening, brother? And he said, I got Mahaprasadam, I'm ecstatic. And Lord Shiva said, I'm your brother. Did you save any for me? And Narada Muni said, I'm sorry, I ate it all. And then finally he looked under his fingernail and he saw a little Mahaprasadam. Lord Shiva took it, started dancing ecstatically. The universe was basically almost destroyed. You know, because that's what Lord Shiva does at the end of the universe, the Kandava Nritya. That means his dance of destruction. And then his wife, Parvati, comes and says, "What are you doing? Stop." And he got angry with his wife. He said, "Why'd you stop me?" And she said, "No, why are you dancing?" And he said, "I got my prasadam." She said, "Did you save any for me?" And he said, "No, you're Maya. Not only in Maya, you are Maya." It's like, yeah, just like in the beginning of the movement, the devotees were not informed that women were Maya. You know, so we never thought of ladies like Maya. We just thought of them as devotees. But later on, well, we weren't even informed that ladies were Matajis either. We were just informed that they were devotees, you know, different types of devotees. So, but then later on you found out that they were Maya, so that you began to look at the ladies like Maya, 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 and then Mataji, Mataji, Mataji. Anyway, so a progression in the movement. So anyway, and then Maya Davies. It's interesting. Actually, a devotee doesn't see someone as Maya Devi. Actually, the Maya is in the heart. It's not in someone else. It's not that you blame. It's like blaming. Let's say you're attracted to some type of food. You're overeating on globjimins or something. It's the globjimins' fault. It's those stupid globjimins. Those Mayamans, or whatever you want to call them. It's not. It's your fault. You're the one. Maya's here. It's not there. So anyway, when she was told that, she got so angry, she began to perform austerities and said, "I'll make sure that the Lord appears and gives me Mahaprasadam." Krishna appeared, gave her Mahaprasadam, and she said, "I want Mahaprasadam distributed to all the living entities in this earth." And because of that, Lord Jagannath distributes Mahaprasadam, and we were able to distribute Mahaprasadam because of Durga's blessings at that particular time. So that's first part. We're still in the Sutra Khanda, the first section. And then you have Narada Muni going to Lord Brahma and telling him, you know, that Lord Chaitanya, this is such an interesting thing. For me, it's very interesting. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna's going to appear as Gauranga, golden. He asked Lord Brahma, "What scriptural reference do we have for this?" And then Lord Brahma goes to the Srimad Bhagavatam and he picks out the different verses that indicate Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishna Sangopanga Srikrishna Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasap. That in the age of Kali, Krishna doesn't appear in the same color, but he appears tweets all Krishna, not in blackish. He appears to Varnayati, in other words, Varnayati. He appears to chant the holy names, and he appears with all of his associates. Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishna Sango Pangasrava Astra. Astra, like Astra means weapon, or may mean associates. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasap. That this yajna, or sacrifice in Kali Yuga, is Sankirtan. Sankirtan, actually, I have to pronounce it properly. Yajanti hi Sumedasa, those who have good brains. Sumeda means good brain. Instead of Durameda, means bad brain. Like sometimes Prabhupada would call someone with a bad brain Gobar brain. That means they have cow manure for a brain. Gobar brain. So, those who have good brains, they join the Sankirtan movement. So Lord Brahma actually gave that reference, and then Lord Brahma told Narada Muni to go around and tell all the other demigods time to appear on the earth planet to assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has come to Paritranaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chabdushkritam. Come to establish religious principles, protect the devotees, and annihilate the miscreant mentality in the hearts of everyone. So that's the Sutra Khand. And it's such a nice book. I recommend this book to everybody. Is it translated into Croatian?
Yeah.
No. Yes? No?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay, so it's translated in Croatian. So it's, I recommend this book. And so then you have the Adi Kant. Adi means the beginning. So the beginning of Chaitanya's pastimes. And then you have elaborate descriptions of the birth of Lord Chaitanya. Actually, even before the birth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have Advaitacharya coming to the house of Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra, and Advaitacharya circumambulating Sachimata, offering obeisances to Sachimata, and taking sandalwood pulp and rubbing it on her womb. You know, that's amazing. You know, some older gentleman comes to a pregnant lady's house and offers obeisances and rubs sandalwood. That's interesting. And she doesn't understand what's happening. But this is, of course, prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent. Then there's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent after that. And many stories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's childhood pastimes. And one interesting story he tells there is Lord Chaitanya and the puppies. Some of you may have heard this story before. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw puppies means baby dogs, in case you didn't know. And Lord Chaitanya sees these baby dogs and he adopts them. And his mother gets real upset because Brahmins don't keep dogs in the house. And he's arguing with his mother, oh, the puppy is so cute. And then his mother says, all right, I'll take care of the puppy. And then Lord Chaitanya goes out to play and she gives the puppy away. And Lord Chaitanya comes back and is disappointed. And the puppy's gone and he blames his mother. And ultimately the puppy goes back to home, back to Godhead. I mean, there's other stories, like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the story of the dog that followed Shivananda Sen to Jagannath Puri, and that dog was later on fed coconut pulp by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the dog was chanting Hare Krishna, went back to Godhead. So there's stories of Lord Chaitanya liberating dogs. And there's an interesting story about his interactions in the Adi Kant with Murari Gupta. One story in the Adi Kant is that one time Murari Gupta was talking about medical things. He was a doctor. And he was walking with his associates. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu imitated him. And, you know, just making fun of him. And then Murari Gupta didn't pay much attention. Lord Chaitanya said, you know, just see, later on I'm going to teach you a lesson. And later on, what happens, I mean, a little risque story. What happens is that he goes to Murari Gupta's house while Murari Gupta is eating his meal and he passes urine on Murari Gupta's food. I mean, this is very similar, of course, to Krishna's pastimes when he was young. That Krishna would steal the butter, pinch the babies, and also sometimes do that, pass urine, pizzas when he couldn't reach the butter. So, very similar, adorable pastimes in his youth. And then, of course, there's elaborate descriptions in the Chaitanya Mangal about Lord Chaitanya's two marriages. You know, first he marries Lakshmi Priya, and Lakshmi Priya dies from separation when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is away, the snake bite of separation. The feeling of separation assumed the form of a snake and bit her. And then Lord Chaitanya comes back, and then his mother arranges another marriage with Vishnu Priya, elaborate description of that. And then there's an elaborate description of Lord Chaitanya's going to Gaya after the departure of his father, Jagannath Mishra. And Gaya is the place where Lord Vishnu's footprints are and where Pinda is performed. We described the other day what Pinda was. Pinda means what you perform upon the disappearance or death of a relative. And this helps them achieve a better destination. So he goes to Gaya, and in Gaya, he meets Ishwarapuri, his spiritual master. And then he takes initiation from Ishwarapuri, because before he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, he didn't manifest openly who he was, that he was Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So he manifested before that he was a scholar who was approaching and challenging the devotees, rather than someone who was a devotee. So then he comes back and he exhibits these amazing pastimes of being a devotee of the Lord, holding his 24-hour kirtans or 48-hour kirtans in Srivastava's house. And so many pastimes are described. Many of these same pastimes are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and also the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So I'm not going to elaborate on those pastimes. And then, particularly, he describes, which you don't find in other places, the interactions that he has with his wife and mother before taking sannyas, because they know he's going to take sannyas. So they talk to him about it, he talks to them and assures them, and then in the middle of the night, he leaves and goes across to Katwa, across the river to Katwa, and takes sannyas from Keshava Bharati. And then he makes his way to Jagannath Puri. So that, of course, that's it. That's in the Madhya Kanda. Now we're at the Madhya Kanda. And then finally, in the Sesha Kant, he's in, that's the final Kant, the end Kant. He's in Jagannath Puri and goes to South India and is with his devotees and is described, each of these devotees, who they are in Krishna Leela. Not all the devotees, but the primary devotees, who they are in Krishna Leela. So that's the essence of the Chaitanya Mangal by Lochan Das Thakur. And now we'd like to read this beautiful song that Srila Prabhupada loves. I'm not going to sing it, but we're going to read the song, and then I'll read Prabhupada's translation, which is integrated with his commentary on the song. So it goes, Haramakarana ho dvijana nitai gorjan. Which basically, anyway, Prabhupada will translate. I could translate it, but I'll let him do it. Shabha avatar sharat siramani kevala nandakant. I'll translate that. Kevala means one. Ananda means bliss. Actually, the word nanda means bliss, but ananda is sort of like the superlative in Sanskrit. You understand? Like it's bliss, more bliss, and the most bliss. So when you say ananda, think about that. It means the most bliss, not just bliss. So kevala means this path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, kanda means path, is only blissful. So, bhaja bhaja bhai Chaitanya Nitai, worship Lord Chaitanya. Sudrida Vishvashakori should have faith in the Vishayacharya se rasa bhajiya mukha bolo hari hari. In this way you'll get rid of the Vishaya and taste the nectar of the holy name just with your mouth, mukha, like guru mukha. Mukha bolo. Mukha bolo means, to speak. That's a simple word. Bolo, bolo. Mukha bolo, hari hari. You know, chant hari hari. Take a oro bai chubuvene nai. My dear brothers in this three worlds, emona doyola dati. You're not going to find someone merciful. Pashupaki jure pashane vidore. That they're able to get the animals to chant. Like Lord Chaitanya when he went through the Jatakanda forest. Emona shunayar gunagata. Samsaramajya rahiya pariya se parama hiro asha. Apana koroma bunjane shamana kohe lochana dasa. So here's the Prabhupada's translation and commentary. This is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Lochan declares that the two lords, Nitai Gaurachandra, Lord Nitai, and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful, for they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations like Lord Ram and even Krishna who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya introduced a process which is simply joyful, simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lochan Das requests everyone, my dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. But what is this process? If one wants to be Krishna conscious, here's the condition by this process. One has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. Only. That's a pretty big one. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. One simply has to chant Hari Hari without any motive of sense gratification. These are Prabhupada's words. Lochan Das says, "My dear brother, you just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there was no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry, what to speak of human beings." Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jatakanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all the other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. In fact, they were also kissing each other too. And Lord Chaitanya's servant, Pallabhadra, was shocked by seeing this. Even the animals can join, what to speak of human beings. Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. It is so nice that even stone will melt. But Lochan Das regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, "My dear mind, you are entrapped in this sense gratification process and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement." And subscribed by Srila Prabhupada, described here. Lochan Das Thakur, born in the Shakapti year, that is not the year that we're accustomed to. So he was born in like 1600 and something and disappeared. He lived for 95 years in this world, serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, I guess, any questions or comments? Yes, Ishwarpur.
Maharaj, I have a question regarding the Mahaprasadam. Is this Mahaprasadam, it's a power to purify us, to purify people, dependent or not on our consciousness? Meaning, so we very often will even steal Mahaprasadam when it's gulab jamun, rasa gula, or something like this. But if it is water or some,
we won't take it.
We will not even take it. So does this purifying effect of Mahaprasadam depends on our consciousness or not?
Well, it still purifies, but you get more purification if you actually appreciate that it's Mahaprasadam and not just try to get into the ordinary taste. Not ordinary taste, but just try to enjoy your senses. Like Prabhupada even said one time, many stalwarts have fallen down in the name of Mahaprasadam. In other words, trying to enjoy their senses and using Mahaprasadam to try to enjoy their senses. So, yeah, Prabhupada, yeah, it's a good point. That I actually spoke about this yesterday in class, because you weren't here. That usually, you know, if we offer someone a piece of broccoli or something from Krishna's plate, they say, "No, I wanted Mahaprasadam." So in this way, they're committing an offense. They're considering Mahaprasadam to be ordinary food when they discriminate between one and another. Actually, when I took the remnants from Prabhupada, I also ate the grape stems and the orange rinds, you know, the peels from the oranges. And that was just as nice. So, yes, good point. Good point. Actually, whether something is Mahaprasadam or not also depends upon who cooked it and who offered it. There's other factors too. Because Krishna doesn't have to accept something if we don't offer with love and devotion. Patram pusham palam toyam yome bhakta priyachati. Krishna can reject it. We had experience. For a long time, I was doing pujari work, and I could see when something was offered without the right consciousness, sometimes the deities would throw the plate on the floor. You'd go into the altar, you know, to do the arti, take the plate off, and then it was on the floor. And then, you know, the building was made of concrete. It wasn't shaking. It wasn't Mexico during the earthquake or something like that. There's no reason it should be on the floor. And there was another time, this was San Diego. I wasn't there for this, thank God. The devotees woke up in the morning and found there was deities Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra, all that was left of Subhadra was like a burnt mark on the altar. And they asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said there were offenses made, so Subhadra left. And so the deities can actually leave if there's offenses. And there's that story, which I've told, some of you may have heard me tell the story, I've told it many times, that we one time I was with Prabhupada, and the devotees were complaining to Prabhupada that they had visited a temple, it might have been one of his godbrothers, that didn't treat them nicely, treated them very badly. And they said to Prabhupada they had gone to see the deity of the temple, and Prabhupada said, you know, in a very heavy voice, he said, there is no deity in that temple. And the devotee said, but Prabhupada, we saw the deity. And Prabhupada said, you heard what I said. There's no deity. And so, obviously, the devotee saw the deity, and Prabhupada said, there's no deity, and that meant the deity. It left all the, you know, the deity, all that was left was the material elements that Krishna actually left that situation. And then Prabhupada told the famous Bengali proverb or poem or whatever it was, that they're using the shalagram shila to crack nuts with. In other words, you know, shalagram shila is incarnation of Lord Vishnu. And if you use it to crack nuts, I mean, it's like taking the deity and just using the deity as a nutcracker. Obviously, that's a hellish thought. So, you know, so there's that, you know, who offers, who cooks the food, depend, and whether it's prasadam at all. I mean, devotees may be eating bhoga. For all we know. I'm not saying here, Lord Chaitanya is very merciful, but especially when you have Radha and Krishna deities, one has to be very careful. I was also listening to a class, I think it was yesterday, Prabhupada was installing the Radha Krishna deities in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada was crying. He said, you have to understand, you're dealing directly with Krishna. Be very careful, because you commit offenses. Lord Chaitanya doesn't take offenses, so we're very fortunate, you know, Panchatapa is here, and Zagravya Gornatai, so very fortunate. When you have Radha Krishna, you've got to be on your toes all the time. Everything has to be punctual, right on time, clean, everything. And so, it's very dangerous to install Radha Krishna, if one's not qualified. So, any other questions or comments? Yeah?
What about Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Deity?
What about them? They're nice.
They're merciful.
I mean, those were some of the first deities Prabhupada had installed too in the movement. And of course, there's the famous story of how they came to the movement. That you have my god sister Malati was shopping. Actually, she was stealing. Anyway, so she it's a true story. anyway, whatever. So she was at this import shop in San Francisco, and then she saw this little tiny figure, and she took him as Lord Jagannath, and she brought him to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada, what's this? Prabhupada offers obeisance immediately and said, Lord Jagannath has come to America. And then he had the Shyama Sundara, who was Malati's husband, carved the first Jagannath deities. And the interesting thing is that Shyama Sundara at that time had not given up smoking cigarettes. So one time Prabhupada came in to check on how the carving was going, and there was like a cigarette package resting on Lord Jagannath. And Prabhupada was so merciful. Of course, he said, don't put it on Lord Jagannath. But he was so merciful, he said, you should smoke one less cigarette a day. He didn't just like heavy him out and say, you offender, you nonsense. You know, Prabhupada was really merciful. And is merciful. Like that. So Lord Jagannath probably had it installed in New Jagannath Puri, which is the San Francisco, was the San Francisco temple at that time. Now it's in Berkeley, which is across the bay in California. And Prabhupada also said that Lord Jagannath is very merciful like that. Of course, generally Prabhupada wanted Gaur-Nitai. Generally Gaur-Nitai, especially for the traveling parties, the buses, they had Gaur-Nitai deities. The only time Prabhupada allowed Radha Krishna in a traveling party was the Radha Damodar bus. And that was Vishnu Jan Maharaj, who would take care of Radha Damodar with a lot of devotion. And the reason the deity was called Damodar is because when the bus was turning, there was a tendency of the deity to, you know, fall, deities to fall over, so they had to tie him around the waist. You tie both the Radha and Krishna around the waist so that, you know, they wouldn't move. And that's Damodar, tied around the waist. That's how we got the name, Radha Damodar. So, yes, you know, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and we take Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra on Harinam. When I first joined the movement, we used to take Radha and Krishna sometimes on Harinam, too. In New York, we would take Radha and Krishna to Central Park, which is, you know, a big park in the middle of New York City. And we'd have artis for Radha and Krishna. In front of everyone, distribute the, you know, offer fruit and distribute prasanna. You know, artis one after the other, and distribute prasanna. It was really amazing. It was a wonderful experience. First time I saw Radha and Krishna deities, this devotee, Shilavati, who was Prabhupada's first pujari, was dressing the deities, and even though before I was initiated, she dressed the deities in front of all of us. There was no curtain or anything like that. Because this is Radha Damodar. This is a traveling party. So I wasn't on Radha Damodar, but they were visiting the temple that I was at. And she was, which was in Gainesville, Florida, and she was dressing the deities. I saw it, and I was amazed. Really intense experience, even as a bhakta. So, other questions? Yes.
I have a question regarding the writings of Lord Chaitanya Thakur.
Okay.
In Chaitanya, there is this part, I just wanted to ask you to confirm. When Narada Muni came to Dwaraka,
yeah,
and explain the situation in Kali Yuga, Krishna announced that he will appear as Lord Chaitanya,
right,
in the whole world. And if some souls flew away from Bharata Varsha, then Senapati Bhakta.
Yes.
Is it the original text of Chaitanya Mangala, or in introduction the devotees sometimes?
It's in the Chaitanya Mangala that I read, it's there. It's there. Now, sometimes we ask if it was the original text. Sometimes these literatures are passed down word of mouth in the beginning, because they didn't have printing presses. And also, at that time, and also they would copy the books by hand, too. So sometimes things were added, but that was not added by the ISKCON devotees. That was actually in the...
I mean, it's far out, because it's a prediction of experience of
Shri
Prabhupada.
Yeah.
But sometimes
devotees, yeah, it's in the Chaitanya Mangala that I read. It hasn't been added by the ISKCON devotees, and it does predict Srila Prabhupada, Senapati Bhakta, to go after him. Senapati means like the general, conquering general, Senapati. You know, the big general. So that's Prabhupada. And, you know, and you find many many stories of how or why great devotees appear to carry out certain missions. Like you have Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who prays for his right-hand man, Lord Chaitanya's right-hand man, to appear. And then you have Bhaktivinoda Thakur also writing Lord Chaitanya, his life and precepts, sending it to the West. And when it got to the West, that was the same exact time Srila Prabhupada appeared. You know, you have a lot of things that are apparent coincidences that indicate Srila Prabhupada's position, and also the position of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, etc. So, okay?
Thank you.
So, Dharma, you had a question? Or? I thought you had a question. Yes. Ishwari Radha. That's a nice name. Who gave you that name?
1,000 servants of her, maybe.
All right.
Yes, I'm really grateful for this name, Gurudev. This wonderful explanation of how Sri Krishna revealed him his golden avatar to Narada Muni.
Mm.
And Rukmini was already crying, so did Rukmini also see this golden avatar?
Well, she knew about it beforehand. Right before, the same in the Chaitanya Mangala, it's described that right before Narada Muni got there, it was revealed to her. So see, when Narada Muni got there, she was already crying.
So was the Narada Muni first one to see it?
She saw it at the same time. But she was crying because she'd be separated from her husband while he was on the earth planet. And you find other stories. Of course, she does appear to accompany Krishna. You know, Krishna has, I mean, Lord Chaitanya has two wives, Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya. So, is that all right? Any other questions about, yes?
So how could Krishna left the spiritual world if he was crying?
How does Krishna live? Well, first of all, Krishna doesn't leave the spiritual world. But sometimes, you know, we find these descriptions that when Krishna comes down, he leaves the spiritual world, but he doesn't actually. Galoka yavivashati akilatma bhuta. But sometimes he may disappear from his devotee's vision in the spiritual world to increase their mood of separation, of vipralamba. You know, he's always there in the spiritual world. But he says he's going down and then he disappears from their vision so that they feel separation. And then they come to join him. It's like when Krishna was going to appear over 5,000 years ago, he says to Srimati Radharani that you should come too. And she says, I don't want to go to that place and see these rascals. And he says to her, well, I'll arrange that the first person you see is me. And so when Radharani is born, or appears in this world, in a place called Ravel. Anyone here been to Ravel? Some of you have been to Ravel. Of course, if you go to Varshana, they'll tell you that she appeared there, but she, according to our Acharya, she appeared in Ravel. So when she appears, she's blind. And the parents are thinking, this is very inauspicious. You know, a blind child, not so auspicious. And then Narada Muni says, you should hold the name-giving ceremony and invite everybody, including Nanda Maharaj and Yashodamaya and everybody else, even though you think it's not auspicious. So they all come for the name-giving ceremony. And Krishna's also a little baby, so he crawls up to her, and she smells his fragrance, and she opens her eyes for the first time. So the first person she sees is Krishna. And actually after that, because she's so much in love with Krishna, that's all she sees anyway. And the Bhagavad Gita, the verse we quoted the other day, Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamayi Pashati Dashaham Napanashami Sacha Me Napanashati. 6:30 in the Gita states that that's really a devotee's situation. One who sees Krishna everywhere and sees everything in Krishna. Of course, Krishna is saying that in a different context. He's saying, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. 6:30 in the Gita. So Radharani, you know, a pure devotee doesn't see anything other than Krishna. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksadaiva vridiyeshu vilokiyanti yamsham vishandharma chincha govindam adipurushantamahamjana. That's a pure devotee. So yes, these are intense emotions. Pure devotees, and in the spiritual world, are always experiencing intense emotions. There's nothing dull in their lives. They're not thinking, I've been there, I've seen it, I've done it. Ugh, another rasa dance. Why don't they play a different song tonight? Why don't they play a George Harrison song instead of Krishna playing a flute? What is another instrument tonight? You know, it's ever fresh, and the emotions are extremely intense for a pure devotee. When a pure devotee, like Lord Chaitanya's associate, Mukunda, even sees a peacock feather, they go into extreme ecstasy. But for ourselves, we chant Hare Krishna, we don't feel anything. But a pure devotee sees a peacock feather, and that's it. You know, it's enough to knock him unconscious. So we should lament that we're being cursed by Yamaraj, like Lochan Das does in his poem here, Paramakarna, that we're not feeling this ecstasy or attraction because we're cursed by Yamaraj, and it's not Yamaraj's fault. You know, we're doing something so he curses us. Not really. He doesn't curse us, but we're committing offenses against the holy name. So, any other questions? Quick questions or comments before we take prasadam? And it's a special day today. It's also Sunday, which is a special day. It's the Lord's Day. Day of rest. And tonight, this evening, we're going to have a special presentation during the Sunday feast showing that life comes from life and that Darwin was wrong. So it's going to be interesting. It's a several part presentation, but we're only going to do one part. So bring your notebooks because it's a little scientific.
What time is that?
During Sunday feast program. 3:30, whenever I'm supposed to get up here and do my thing. 3:45? 3:30? Whatever the schedule is. 3:45. And it'll be a presentation with pictures and everything like that. Interesting pictures. So you're all invited to come to that. Okay, I think it's overtime for Mahaprasadam. All glorious to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Everyone in class. See you. All the nice Vaishnavas. Nandivas. I haven't seen you for years.